Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Music Therapy Show with Janice Lindstrom. I am Janice Lindstrom, the host and producer of this show. And today is Friday, March 20th, 2015. Today is the Mommy Support Group show, and my co-host, Amy, is not able to join me today. So we will definitely miss her, but she'll be back next month. And today, I was trying to think of what to talk about, and I had a couple of different ideas in my head, but I took my child to get a haircut today. And I've seen posts on Facebook about other children getting their first haircut and how smoothly it went, and this is my kid's second haircut. And it went fine. It didn't go all that smoothly. I posted some pictures on Facebook. So if you follow me on Facebook, you can see pictures of my child being all happy and smiling and looking very cute, sitting in the chair. It all looks like it was, but in actuality, there was lots of screaming going on because we had to hold him still. He's not a very still child, and so we had to restrain him a little bit so that they could finish the haircut and not have anybody get hurt. So I thought this would be a good time to talk about comparison, mommy comparison, and the way that we present our lives and motherhood on social media versus how it happens in real life. If you'd like to join in the discussion or ask questions, you can call in 646-652-2850. Or you can email me after the show at using the contact page on my website at heartbeatmusictherapy.net. I would love to hear from you. And you can let me know that I'm not alone in my mommyhood struggles. And I'll do the same for you. So I know intellectually that comparing myself and my situation to other people isn't the smart way to go, because I am experiencing and living and bringing different things into my experience than anybody else is. And I don't actually know what's going on for other people. So if I see someone that looks like they have it all together on Facebook or some other social media, or even out in public, if somebody else looks like their children are really well behaved and they have their hair fixed and everything is going well, that doesn't mean that I know the whole story. Just like if I'm out in public and I see a mom who's frustrated with a toddler that's screaming on the floor of the grocery store, that also doesn't mean that I know the whole story. So that's just been a real present theme for me this month, is knowing to not compare myself to other people and to what I see on presented, because what is presented isn't always the case. And my child is 19 months old, and he is going through a very cranky stage. And I'm not sure if it's cranky, it's a combination of some teeth coming in and just getting to that age of wanting to be more independent and not being able to communicate effectively, because he's saying some words, but it's not a whole lot. And so he communicates a lot of the time his displeasure by screaming. And that can really take a toll on one. That takes a toll on me to listen to that kind of crankiness. And I know when I posted on Facebook a comment about the screaming. And really the only time I post on Facebook is after I've dealt with the situation usually, and I'm trying to either find some humor in it or to just see what kind of responses I get. And I did get a lot of advice. And some of that advice was so what I actually posted was that my child is screaming and I kind of want to join in. And a lot of parents chimed in and said, oh, you should totally do it. And when I screamed, my kid was so shocked that he stopped. So there was that kind of advice. There's other advice about whispering, what's wrong? And that got attention for this one particular parent. And then there was more advice about having a reserve of patience and not giving in to the frustration that you might feel about your child's frustration and being that strength and support for him as he's frustrated. And all of that is really good advice, but it's also important for me as a parent to remember that just because something worked for another parent doesn't mean that it's supposed to work for me and my child. That all of this advice comes from well-meaning people who have been in my situation with the screaming toddler and wanting to scream themselves. And they were sharing how they dealt with it and what kind of outcome they had. And that was helpful. It's helpful to know that I'm not alone and that other people have dealt with it in a variety of ways and gotten a variety of responses. But even if I try all of those things and my kid doesn't respond at all or in any way similar to what was reported, doesn't mean that I'm doing parenting wrong or that there's something wrong with my kid. It just means that we're different people. And I know as a music therapist, I keep that at the top of my mind, that my clients are people and everybody. And one client that has the same diagnosis as a second client isn't going to respond in the same way to the same thing. So I just find that important to remember as a mom, too. So that was one theme that came up for me. I saw another post in a parenting group about a mom saying, I have a 3-week-old, and how do you balance self-care with taking care of your 3-week-old? And I remember that time pretty vividly. When my child was 3 weeks old, the repairs still weren't done to my house. There was rain that happened the week that I was in the hospital giving birth to my son. And the week before, three days before I went into labor, my landlord was doing repairs on the roof, which were very loud and unexpected and stressful and early in the morning and lasted for a long time. Apparently those repairs weren't completed or weren't done properly or something by the next week when it rained a lot. And so when we got home from the hospital with my newborn, the ceiling of my 2-story house was in the kitchen, which is on the first floor. So that was a very stressful time to begin with. Not to mention, you know, you're bringing home a newborn and trying to figure that part out. Plus the house had collapsed. Anyway, that was still being repaired when my kid was 3 weeks old. I want to say that week 3 was when we were able to come back home and to a house that was still in disaster. All of the repairs had been done to the walls and the carpeting and ceilings and such, but all of our furniture was displaced and there was construction dust covering everything. So it was a very stressful time in addition to having a 3-week-old. And so I remember that time very vividly. And as I got a little more sleep and could think a little more clearly, I don't know why I thought that I could do anything besides just take care of my child at that point. So if you remember the newborn stages, or if you're not yet a parent or anticipating parenthood, the newborn stages really are quite tough. So you just need to lower your expectations of what is supposed to happen in your day. And your entire day is going to be consumed with taking care of your newborn. And it is true that once they become about, you know, 3 or 4 months old. It does get better. It doesn't feel like it when you're in the middle of it, but it does get better, and you will get more sleep. It's not those first few weeks. And you will be feeding your child every few seconds and changing your child every few seconds, and you won't get a shower. And really, what you need to do, the self-care balance during that time is to just know that you are going to live in chaos, that you are not going to have the energy or time to do any of your normal routines, that you are just going to need to be in survival mode, taking care of your infants, and then doing what you can to take care of yourself. I recommend asking for help. I feel like I should have had a lot more help than I did this first few weeks. But it was just my husband and I and a little bit of family help. But I feel like I needed people to do a lot more than we had asked for. So I would get a support system in place if you are having a child. And if you have one, then the people that really help in that newborn craziness stage were the ones that brought over gifts so that we could go get fast food or whatever for dinner a few times. And then the church group that brought over and stuffed our freezer full of food so that we wouldn't have to do anything but heat it up. Those are the helpful things, plus the social component. I needed to talk to other adults and someone else to hold my baby for a little while. That's what I needed. And so just because I needed that doesn't mean that you will or do if you're a new mom. But I would look at experiences of other people so that you can understand the range of what you might expect. But if your situation isn't how it is for you, then accept that. So really, that's what I want to say, is accept your situation as your situation. And I did not cherish those infancy months like everyone tells you to, but they do happen very fast. It doesn't feel like it when you're in the moment, but it does go by really quickly. It's a very short span of time in the grand scheme of things. But when you're sleep deprived and in the moment, it's hard to see that fast moving time. And I didn't cherish them. And when people would say, cherish those moments, I felt like I was not being validated for my experience. So I would be aware of that. But not every moment is a blessing. I mean, it is a blessing. And I knew that it was a blessing. And I loved my kid. But it was just a lot of work, and I was so tired. So those were my experiences. And I just want to say that being a mom has really helped me to work on one of my lifelong goals, to be less judgmental of other people. I feel like I do that pretty well most of the time. But there's times when somebody cuts me off and I say, oh, what a jerk, in traffic or something, or if somebody says something I don't like on the social media, I have judgments. But I have more opportunity to be understanding when I see other moms with children whose kids aren't behaving very well in public for whatever reason, in whatever way. Whatever my definition of behaving well is, I'm a little more understanding because maybe that mom is just tired, and that's why she's not trying to redirect her children. Maybe she's got a lot going on. Maybe her child has a disability that I am not aware of. Or maybe she has a disability I'm not aware of. And so I guess I just have a lot more sympathy and understanding of different behaviors and different parenting styles than I think I did before I was in this experience. That's a lot of rambling, and since I don't have my partner here to keep me on track and to give better information than I'm able to give today. I miss you, Amy. I'm going to go ahead and cut the show short, but I would love to hear from you. You can contact me at heartbeatmusictherapy.net. I would like to thank everyone for listening to the show and for sharing the show with others and giving me feedback about the show and letting me know that you listen. And I will be back next April. April 10th will be the next show, and CJ Shiloh will be my guest that day. We're going to be talking about identity first language. That is in reference to people with disabilities and how they prefer to refer to themselves and just having respect for people of all different abilities and situations. And then on April 17th, Petra Kern is going to be my guest, talking about the work that she does with her students. And Amy Zuniga will be back with me on April 24th for the Mommy Support Group. So it will be less rambling and more support. Be sure to call in that show, 646-652-2850, and contact me at heartbeatmusictherapy.net. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a great weekend.